The Old Testament reading for the 24th Sunday after Pentecost is from Amos chapter 5. Woe to you who desire the day of the Lord. Why would you have the day of the Lord? It is darkness and not light, as if a man fled from a lion and a bear met him, or went into a house and leaned his hand against the wall and a serpent bit him. Is not the day of the Lord darkness and not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I despise your feasts, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, and the peace offerings of your fattened animals, I will not look upon them. Take away from me the noise of your songs to the melody of your harps. I will not listen, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught together with those, with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel is according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. The lesson for today follows Jesus' continuing discourse on his second coming. And he's talking about delays. And delays have been the downfall of nations and people. For example, when Napoleon was at Waterloo, the British line was finally breaking. Victory was in sight. But he waited 30 precious minutes to get one more unit in place for the final attack. And in those 30 minutes, the British strengthened the line, held, and we know what happened. A delay like that cost him the Battle of Waterloo. Shakespeare once said, "Delays have dangerous ends." In early 1874, there was a man named Elisha Gray, and he discovered that he could send sound through wires. And he thought, why can I not then send a voice from one, through the wire from one point to another point? And a year later, he finally had the answer. But it took him 2 months to put it on the paper. Then it took him another 4 days to get it down to the patent office, just to find out that 2 hours earlier, Alexander Graham Bell had come in with the telegraph long before, just 2 hours before Elisha Gray did. Everything was identical to Gray's invention, except for the time. Alexander Graham Bell got the patent. The reason we know of Bell rather than Gray is Bell seized the opportunity when he had it. He didn't waste any time getting his invention built and then to the patent office. Gray waited until it was too late. Man's history is filled with stories of the wrecks of delay. One moment's delay may usher in an eternity of regret. Jesus gave this parable to talk about the dangers of being unprepared for Christ's second coming. Matthew 24:3 says, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall the sign be of your coming and of the end of the world?'" Jesus' parable answers their question. He sums up the reason for the parable in the words, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes." Jesus is coming again. And we start looking at this, the second coming, at this time of year, because we're getting near to the end of the church year. You know, you can't believe everything that's written in papers. Here's some headlines that have been in newspapers around the country. Now you gotta think about it, and you'll get the joke implied. People begin campaign to run down jaywalkers. Prostitutes appeal to the Pope. Teacher strike idle kids. Enraged cow injures farmer with axe. Two sisters reunited after 18 years in checkout counter. And I love this one. New study of obesity looks for a larger test group. Or this one. Kids make the nutritious snacks. They really should be running the story, "Jesus is coming," because the message is the greatest prophetic message the world has ever heard. You know, in the Bible, baptism is talked about 20 times. In the New Testament, repentance is talked about 70 times. But "Jesus is coming again" is talked about one out of every 25 sentences. He can come at any time and any moment. After church, after the pastor had preached about the second coming, a little girl asked her mother, "Do you believe that Jesus will come back?" And the mother says, "Yes." "Today?" "Yes." "In a few minutes?" "Yes, dear." "Then, Mommy, would you comb my hair now?" You cannot stop it and you cannot escape it. One thing is inevitable. We talk about two things being inevitable, death and taxes. Well, taxes are inevitable. Only the government can tax you after you're dead. But death is not inevitable because he's coming again, and those people who are alive on the earth when he comes again will not die. So it's not inevitable. The entire Bible can be summed up with the words, "He is coming, he has come, and he will come again." Douglas MacArthur in World War II, when the Philippines fell to the Japs, left a message behind that says, "I shall return." Guerrillas continued to fight on for another 3 years, waiting for his return for him to keep the promise. Finally, MacArthur did return and deliver them from an oppressing enemy. He kept his promise, "I will return." Jesus says he is coming back. And it's a shocking reality. For some, it's a sad reality. For others, it's a sweet reality. But for all people, it's a sure reality. G. Campbell Morgan, a preacher from the last century, said, "The second coming is like the perpetual light in the path which makes the present bearable." Matthew says in chapter 25, verses 1 to 2, "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish." We got 2 groups of virgins, but they all had one thing in common. They knew the bridegroom was coming. Now all 10 of them fall asleep in the parable, but they're not criticized for falling asleep. So that's not the problem. The wise ones were prepared before they fell asleep. The foolish ones did not go during the day to buy more oil in case the bridegroom was late. All 10 of the virgins looked alike. They had their same wedding clothes on. They'd all brought their lamps, but 5 of them were not ready. On the surface, they all looked the same, but God can tell the difference between people. We can't always do it. The virtual difference is spiritual. Wisdom and foolishness manifest itself in how prepared you are for Christ's return. Part of the lesson is that churches are filled with people not saved. Now, don't think because there was 5 wise virgins and 5 foolish virgins that means half the people in church are not saved. Jesus is making the point that there are some that are not saved. They think they're okay because their name is written in the membership rolls of the church. They were confirmed. And after all, they make a real effort to come in at Christmas and Easter. And they're all set. Now, I'm not judging in the slightest, but are they prepared for the second coming? Since Jesus is talking to the disciples, it is a warning to the church as well. Matthew 25:6 says, at midnight the cry was made. He came at an unexpected time. Because most people go to sleep by midnight. There's a few strange nighthawks that stay up past midnight. I used to do that. Now 9 o'clock is the outer limits. There's a word for that, right? When your bedtime gets to be earlier and earlier. Yeah, I think it's called age. But anyway, most people are asleep by midnight, so that's why the 10 virgins were asleep. 1 Thessalonians 5:2 says, Christ will come as a thief in the night. The world has grown complacent about the return of Christ. 5 of the virgins were unprepared when the bridegroom appeared. They had wasted their opportunities to go and get oil. Now, their plan was commendable. They all planned to be part of the wedding festival. Their intentions, though, were not good enough. After all, who intends to go to hell? So intentions are not good enough. Seldom does Christ ever use the word foolish. But in this case, where a person knows full well what he ought to do, delays it until it is too late, that is a sign of being foolish. Tomorrow is a period nowhere to be found unless it's in a fool's calendar. The foolish virgins thought they had enough oil. They had a pressing need for more oil, but they didn't see it. What is the overshadowing need that you have instead of Jesus? Is it pursuit of education, business, pleasure, money, family, or friends? If you don't recognize the need for Jesus, or to say, I need more Jesus, then you are being foolish. The 5 virgins had no forethought. And forethought is a sign of being sign of being wise. Many today plan for all the events of life, yet take no thought of tomorrow as far as their soul is concerned. It's like the man who fell out of his 20-story window, and as he passed the 10th story where his friend was looking out the window, he yelled to him, everything's all right so far. The pronouncement, though, of the groomsman was unchangeable. The foolish ones went off to buy oil, and the door was shut. Those who were ready went in. Death is either a doorway to heaven or a doorway to hell. There is no second chances. The delay is to run the risk of being rejected. Luke 13 says, strive to enter into the straight gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know not where or who you are. Matthew 25:11-12 says, after came also the other virgin, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. There were no second chances for the 5 left outside. See, we never know when we're going to die, and we never know when the second coming is going to happen. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. The second coming is going to happen when the Lions make the Super Bowl. And right now, they're 6-2. So we're getting close to the end of the world. So help me, there's going to be churches filled, because I've been saying this for 30 years of the ministry, when the second coming is going to happen. And if they actually make the Super Bowl, there's going to be churches in Canada and the U.S. filled because of what I have said. But we never know when it is coming. The foolish could have gone out far earlier than midnight to buy more oil. And oil in this parable refers to faith. Are they taking care of their faith? Are they sure that they have tended to their faith? They had time to reverse their foolishness, but missed the opportunity. Jesus often talked about those who were not ready to meet him. So I would say, sinner, don't waste the opportunities you have. Saints, do not waste the opportunities you have today. Conclusion, don't get caught unprepared. That's the message of the parable of the 10 virgins. Now, this parable is intended to teach us about the suddenness and unexpectedness of the Lord's coming. It calls for us to be prepared for that unknown day. There was a young lady who was going on a blind date. So she really wanted to impress her date. So she took the day off of work, got a manicure, got her hair done, got her makeup done, put her best dress on, got all ready to go, and then sat down on the couch and waited for her date to arrive. Well, the time came and passed. Half hour came and passed. An hour came and passed. So she thought, well, I've been stood up. So she took off her dress, let down her hair, put on her pajamas, sat down with her dog to watch some old movies on TV when the doorbell rang. Guess who it was? Her date. First words out of his mouth were, I gave you 2 extra hours and you're still not ready? So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.